Good morning. You guys turn your Bibles, book to Deuteronomy. Nick O'Dell told me he was guessing that I was preaching on, no, he was prophesying that I was preaching out of Deuteronomy. So I wanted to start somewhere else and just not do it so that we could prove that he wasn't a prophet. But guys, awesome Peaks. I'm just so grateful, so grateful for the Peaks. Been a tremendous blessing in my life. And Pops, how many years you been coming to Peaks?
54.
I think I'm probably 48, 49, something like that. And I loved everything about Peaks. The influence in my life. Spiritual men. Tough men. Men who are committed to absolute sound doctrine. Men who, no matter what the challenges of this life, no matter the attacks of Satan, have continued to move forward. Did anybody else get a little emotional when Mel got emotional? 88-year-old guy praying. This guy, what he went through this last week in the hospital, in the ER, they went through it. And I'm praying and I'm saying, man, I bet Mel isn't going to be able to make it to Peaks. This guy, I think this guy would rather die at Peaks than not be at Peaks. Is that fair, Mel? Not quite. You had to think about that. Okay. I won't put words in his mouth. But this has been an awesome influence in my life. And I do appreciate seeing these young guys grow up and have spiritual men to look to. I'm also really thankful, guys. The least favorite part of my Peaks for 48 years. I'm really thankful for the porta potties. That is a game changer. Thank you to the brother who invested in that. Really grateful. I don't think he wanted us to say his name, but anyways, appreciate you, Josh. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. There are a few ways in which the Lord really works. One, obviously, is through his word. I appreciated Kirk's message that the word by itself doesn't get God's job done. People confuse the Holy Spirit, but all of us can agree, God's word and his indwelling spirit, right? But there is a third part of this that I really enjoy about Peaks, the assembly of the saints, etc. But Peaks, it's dudes getting to do this, but there is another way that God works. And guys, that is through his spirit in his church. Like his spirit in you, encouraging me. I'm really, really grateful for what everybody brings to this camp. You guys are awesome. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul in order that you may live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, awesome God. Father, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy of our worship. You are worthy. We want to love you with all of our heart and soul. But Lord, we found that we were incapable of doing that. And so you, in your great love for us, prepared a way, made a way by which we could have our hearts circumcised so that we can love you with all of our heart and thereby live. I ask, Father, you be with me as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly, and each of us can really understand the tremendous value that you have given us by removing that veil of flesh over our heart so that we can see you as you are in all of your glory, that we may know you and that we may love you with all of our heart and soul. May you be glorified this morning, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, the book of Deuteronomy. Deutero means two, right? Nomos has to do with law. And so we've heard this all weekend. It's been awesome. Moses, before he dies, he is giving a second reading of the law, if you will. But can you, when you read this book, living where you do now in this time, can you see everything in this book, everything in the book of Deuteronomy, in this law was actually pointing to the new law, the real one, what we live under. And we've heard it all weekend, but every, you know, the prophet who's coming, the Lord God will raise up a prophet like me from among your brethren. It's looking to that. Choose life that you may live. Guys, they couldn't ever have full life. It was looking towards expectation of where God is going with us. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. We understand that this is the great commandment, isn't it? How many of us want to love the Lord our God with all our heart? How many of us from the time we were children maybe said, I want to love God? But along the way, there's a problem. And that problem is not on God's end. Okay, we're all guys here. Sometimes I wish this wasn't live stream. I'm preaching just to you guys. How many of you have sometimes felt an inability to love your wife the way that you want to? It's like you need to grow to be able to love her the way that she deserves to be loved. To love God the way that he deserves to be loved? We are incapable of doing that on our own. And Moses, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brings this out. He says, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. There's a problem with the heart. We see it early. Genesis chapter 6. A few of these I want to read. Most of them will cruise through here. But Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Early on, the reason God had destroyed this place, the violence, but the problem, where did the problem start? The heart of man was on evil continually from his youth. The intent, Genesis 8:21 confirms that after the flood, the problem had been the intent of man's heart, evil from his youth. Guys, since Adam, we know sin has been prevalent. And from the time we're children, I'll just call it the world forces, when the scripture warns us not to be conformed to this world, the world forces are training our hearts to be evil. It's interesting. The world says, follow your heart. It took me a second last night in Nolan's message, great message, by the way, but it took me a second. I thought you were saying, choose your heart. I was like, no, he's saying, choose your heart, right? But the world says, follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart. And what does God say? In the book of Proverbs, he says, I like exactly the way he says this, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. There is one who understands the heart, and that is the God who searches the hearts. In terms of us on our own, the heart's more deceitful than all else. Sometimes I say we play mental gymnastics. You know the process. You're playing games in your mind, trying to justify some things. But the thoughts, and there's an overlap here, extremely close connection in the scriptures, but there's desires, right? And man, it is really easy to kid ourselves, the human race, the ability to deceive yourself about what you want. I remember a couple young fellas in Billings a number of years ago sitting in my living room, and they were getting involved in marijuana. At that point in time, marijuana wasn't legal. And actually, that drug was killing all of their motivation, and it was destroying them. And they're sitting in my living room, and one of them says, "Mr. Wilson, we got the want to, we just don't got the will to." It was true in terms of the will to. But the want to, he kidding himself. He wanted to do what he was doing. The heart's deceitful. And Jesus confirms for us that the problem is the heart of man. Go with me to Mark chapter 7. I'm just going to skip to the explanation. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Jesus was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that's what defiles the man. So in other words, it's not what you eat. It doesn't matter. What proceeds out of the man, that's what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Pretty solid list. It says, all these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Where does Jesus say the problem is? It's from within, out of the heart of man. And so we know the problem is the heart. And so the law comes along, the Old Testament, the Deuteronomy, do this, choose, 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 choose. And there's a problem. The problem is the law is powerless to change the desires of your heart. Read book Deuteronomy. We have, is there any question that the law is holy? Be holy, for I am holy. The law is holy. Is there any question that the law is righteous? The law is righteous. Sets a standard of what is right and wrong. Is there any question that the law is good? Romans 7 says, the commandment's holy, righteous, and good. The problem with the law is not what it brings out. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. In other words, if that old covenant was able to do what it was supposed to do, we wouldn't have needed a new one. In verse 8, he says, for finding fault with them, he says. The problem with the law is it was not able to impart life. It was not able to produce a people who could keep it. And the reason is, it couldn't change the desires of the heart. You guys go with me to Romans chapter 7. I'll give an example of myself today. Many of you have heard this multiple times. I have been given the nickname Jehu before, and it's not because I had Jezebel chucked out of the top. It's because, yeah, I drive furiously. And so speed limit is an interesting thing to me. like reasonable and prudent. But when there's a speed limit, if it's 85, oh, is there one that's 85? Okay. Sorry. It's 80. I go 84. My dad can tell you I even have a little more wiggle room. I don't like to be caught. It's my preference not to be caught. If it's 35, I go 39. If it's 45, I go 49. All I care about, guys, is not getting caught. It does not change the desire of my heart. Sometimes I come across 35 and I'm like, this makes sense. I'll go 35. Sometimes I'll come across a 15 and I'm like, this makes sense. I'll go 15. But if the law has no power to change my heart. Romans chapter 7, verse 5 makes a point. This is prior to our conversion. Romans 7, verse 5. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. Because the law actually does something more than just doesn't work. It actually arouses sinful passions within the flesh. So you can think about it this way. In illustration, before I go to the illustration. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. How many of you have, in any area of your life, thou shalt not? And then, so I'll just say, quit eating sugar. I get up here. I don't want to make it sound like I've been doing better before I got up here, but I'm going to have a good weekend of eating. I open this box. And in this box are these churro bites that I really like, the brand of these churro bites. I get so excited about it. We haven't been able to find them on our camping trip. I text my wife. I was like, wow, thank you for the surprise. She's like, what? I was like, the churro bites. She's like, God, I don't think those are ours. That wasn't me. I sent her a kissy face and everything. Come to find out, Marcus and Talia had got them somewhere, put them in there. I didn't give Marcus the kissy face. But I was thankful. But what I'm saying is I can do no sugar until the pressure's too great. And at some point, the pressure's too great and stuff busts loose. That's why you can go, 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 and then boom. When I was a kid, my grandpa had a few horses, and my speed was tiny, and then the next one up was half pint. And one time I took a ride on it, guys, horses still scare me to this day. Half pint was still substantially bigger than me. I get on this horse, they're well trained. I got the reins going out, you know, walking along, and then a little bit of gallop maybe. Turn around, it starts raining. Do you think that horse knew who was in control? That horse knew I had no idea what I was. I had the reins, and then it busts through. This is why the law can never work even for the Christian. We'll never change who we are. What is God interested in? He wants to change our heart, so that we can love him with all of our heart. And when we love with God with all of our heart, guess what? We live. This is eternal life, to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. The problem is the heart. There is a barrier there that keeps us from being able to know and love God. Ezekiel chapter 36, awesome prophecy. And in that, God says, I am going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. But here we see it another way that God says it, and that says that we need to have our hearts circumcised. We might think of it this way. We need a heart operation. My best friend in this life, outside of my wife, My kids are getting older. They're pretty good friends too. But Todd Cooper. When Todd was a little guy, he had to get a heart operation. At the time, it was a new and rare operation. And he had the complications the rest of his life from that heart. Actually, I didn't realize when I first met Coop, he became a Christian. We're spending time together. We drink a bunch of Mountain Dew together and then go play basketball. And the next thing, we spend the night all night in the ER with him because his heart rate's crazy up there and never comes back. He had complications the rest of his life, and he died from those complications. But, guys, it got that heart operation bought him 40-plus years of his life. And only a few people could do that. By the way, his son Tyler's here, and Tyler is now immersed into Christ. I know how proud Todd would be of you, Tyler. But I just want us to follow through on this analogy. Guys, we got a bad heart. We need a heart operation. Who can do that? Where is it going to happen? Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Actually, before we get there, I want to hit a little bit of other Old Testament passages. Deuteronomy chapter 10. So I just want you to see this theme here. I got the good verse out of Deuteronomy chapter 30, but go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 16, circumcise then your heart and stiffen your neck no more. Hey, how'd that work out for everybody? Anybody remember Stephen? He talking to the religious rulers, the Jews, and what's he say to them? You men who are stiff-necked, uncircumcised of heart and ears. They never did it, did they? God says circumcise your heart. Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. Verse 4. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds. You see this in the Old Testament. God says, circumcise your heart. Circumcise your heart. I actually like the passage I got because it said, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. What we find is an absolute incapability of circumcising our own heart. We can't do it any more than Coop could have given himself a heart operation. Let's actually stop over at Romans chapter 2. I noticed the Billings guys are still rabble-rousers a little bit, and we all know why. Anybody ever used to blame it on Luke Wilson, you know it wasn't Luke Wilson. Kevin Simpson's still alive and kicking, and that's where that flows from, in case you didn't know that. Romans chapter 2, though, is one of my brother Kevin's favorite passages, and he likes to ask a question. Who did you? You did you? According to? Romans 2. He does have some catchy stuff. All right. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. The circumcision that God has cared about all along is the circumcision of the heart. And who is going to do that work? The Spirit of God. He's the only one who can. Now Colossians chapter 2. I love this passage for a number of reasons. One is, out of all of the objections that people have about why immersion could not possibly be necessary for salvation, the honest objection that I think oftentimes is honest from people is, well, baptism's a work. And we know we're not saved by works. They've been taught that. So it's an objection they have in their mind that's reasonable for their level of understanding. So it's like God knows what people are going to argue against, and he has this thing, airtight case. And we know Colossians 2, 11 and 12 is awesome to show that God does the work. Our faith, God's work. I'm not preaching on that so much today as I want to hammer this circumcision. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Jesus all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in immersion, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. I do want you to notice something here in verse 12, where it says, in the working of God. King James, I think working is a better translation for sure, but King James says in the operation of God. It's like, yeah, that's the concept is consistent with what we have going here. A number of years ago, a couple girls in our school in Billings, they're cute little girls, Erica and Shana, and they come up to me one day and, Mr. Wilson, can you please pray for our new baby brother? It's like, okay, yeah, what's going on? He has an operation he has to have. It's like, okay, what? It's like, Grandma says he has to be circumcised. It's like, okay, yeah, I'll pray for him. That's all I said. Yeah, I'll pray for him. I think he's going to be okay. But guys, there is an operation. There is a surgery in circumcision, in physical circumcision, the removal of the flesh of the baby's foreskin. God never cared about that. Side note, when people say what circumcision was in the Old Testament, baptism is in the New, that's a false proposition. What circumcision was in the Old, circumcision in the Old is a foreshadow of circumcision in the New. And we all, you can follow this through scripturally, you can't ever take shadows further than where God takes them. There's a point that God has with this, but there are so many different, I wanted to preach on that today. It's like, that's a tangent message in and of itself. But what I do want to say is, anybody who does not understand that immersion into Christ is where God does the work, that this is where God performs an operation that is absolutely essential for any of us to be able to love him with all of our heart. If they don't understand that happens in immersion, there's an arrogance here of, I'll just use my friend Todd Cooper, if he would have been telling the surgeon, no, I'm not coming to your place and I'm not doing it your way. I want you to come over to this place and I want you to do this procedure. Who's the surgeon? Who's the doctor? Who's doing the operation? If you think you can circumcise your own heart, well, read your Old Testament. There's only one surgeon who can circumcise the heart, and that is God. And he says that happens in immersion. I get a little fired up about that sometimes. The reality, brethren, is that if we don't get immersion right, you won't ever get anything else right. Is it surprising that people who have not been immersed into Christ for the remission of their sins and to receive the Holy Spirit and who don't understand the new birth, who don't understand the circumcision, is it surprising that they say we're always going to be sinners? Of course it's not surprising, because that's what their heart is. The heart is still evil, no matter how much they want it to be good. Only God can make a good heart. And that happens at immersion into Christ. I want you to think about this another way with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So the great commandment of the law, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us in verse 14, but their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it's removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The law, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, cannot make anybody love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's powerless to actually, for you to be able to do that. Impossible. So God does this for us. He removes this veil that was over our heart. I want you to think, guys, for a second. We've heard this, but I want you to think how powerful this is. How many of us have been like, God, I want to know you. God, I want to love you. And it was an impossibility. And God says, I am going to give you a new heart. I am going to rip away that carnal mindset. I'm going to rip away that veil of flesh that caused a separation that made it impossible for you to know me and to love me. And he took that away. You understand the freedom that we have now to be able to love God the way that he deserves, and really at a personal level to be fulfilled in our lives spiritually, because that's what we were born to do. It's awesome, and only God can do that. So this is the beginning. We understand that. The circumcision of the heart gives us the potential and the opportunity to actually love God with all of our heart and soul. Isn't that awesome? To know God the way that he deserves to be known, to love him the way he deserves to be loved. So now, of course, this circumcision of the heart God does for us in the waters of immersion. And this really lines up with what the new covenant is. Go with me back to Hebrews chapter 8. It's interesting because we'll talk with people who are outside of Christ. And rightly so, we will talk to them about the terms of salvation under the new covenant. And that's the only place we're going to ever find the appropriate terms of salvation. But let's follow this through. The terms of salvation, the terms to actually enter into this covenant with God, are there within. But nobody outside of Christ, guys, is in the new covenant. They're not in covenant with God. They can't be. The veil is there. That barrier is there. They can't. So that's why in Romans chapter 11, quoting from the Old Testament, he says, this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Once the sins are taken away, now there's a covenant that we are in with God, right? So this Hebrews chapter 8 passage is applicable only to Christians, actually. Hebrews chapter 8, let's start again in verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. And then listen to this. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. That's the main thrust of this. I just hate it when people purposely skip verse 13, so I'm going to read it. When he said a new covenant, he's made the first obsolete. Whatever's becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. My point is this. The new covenant is written in our minds and on our hearts. Under this, we aren't saying, hey, know the Lord, know the Lord. Why? Because when that veil of flesh has been removed, now the barrier is no longer there and we know God. And God knows us. Okay, that's another message too. But the barrier's gone. It's removed. It's written in our minds and our hearts. The new covenant is really awesome, and I know we understand this, but it's written in our minds. There is propositional logic. It is understandable. We are not talking about checking your brains at the door and just some leap of faith. The faith of Christ, the New Testament, the apostles' doctrine, this does not change. It's propositional. When it says it's in our minds, we can actually think it through and logically reason and figure out the information that God gives us as who He is and who we are. It's awesome. And you got to start in your mind. There is a connection, and I'm not going to try to make a huge distinction today between mind and heart, but there's certainly a connection. But is it possible? Is it possible to understand logically what God has written in this New Testament, but not change the desires of your heart? Have you ever run through your Bible, daily Bible reading? Check, 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 check. Got it all done. Hey, what'd you read about today? Guys, God starts with our mind. And I want to emphasize that. We are not talking about emotional faith. The faith of Christ is propositional. It's logical. It's reasonable. We can understand it. But that God isn't just interested in us knowing what He says. God wants it written in our hearts. This is what we want. We want the same things God wants. Didn't Jesus say to the Pharisees, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven? What were the scribes and Pharisees doing? It was all external, wasn't it? And this external pressure that they were trying to do, looking good before men, but full of uncleanness and deadness inside, they were hypocrites. Jesus said, hey, what they tell you, do and observe. But don't do according to their deeds. Just use a couple of examples. It says, hey, that Old Testament said, don't commit murder. That Old Testament said, don't commit adultery. I don't want a show of hands here. But are there any murderers here? It's very possible. Guys, I've Bible studied with murderers. It's very possible in a group this size that there's some of us in our past life committed murder. Anybody who's ever committed adultery. I don't want to show a hands, but I'm very confident that in this group that's happened. But those are externals, aren't they? Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. And then Jesus comes back. What's He say? I say to you, don't get angry. Anybody ever struggle with anger? That's a whole nother level, isn't it? Well, oh, Jesus just raised the bar. No, Jesus didn't raise the bar. He said, I want to work on the heart. Anybody ever struggle with looking at a woman to lust for her? Oh, Jesus, you know, wow. I always like that. You can look, but don't touch. Just because you're looking at the menu doesn't mean you got to buy it. You know what all the people in the world that are trying to behave say. Guys, God's not interested in just the externals. You didn't kill somebody. Good job. You didn't commit adultery. Good job. That's not what God cares about. What God cares about is what you want inside. And so He circumcises our heart so that we will want the same thing God wants. This is the power of the new covenant. Do we understand the tremendous value of this circumcised heart? And it fits in perfectly with the way God has designed this system of faith. The system of faith is not made for the unrighteous man. The law is for the unrighteous. The system of faith is made for the righteous man who has a new heart. And it is awesome. You know, Jeff was talking about some of the demonic forces and like the portal to that world of Satan. It's like opening an app. And now you're into that world of Satan was the analogy used, and I was having a tough time coming up with analogy, so I'm going to just stick with that. Guys, do you realize that there are a very select few people that the portal is opened to God? Like, that is never opened until the heart is circumcised. And now it's open. The way into the very presence of God has been made available to us. The new and living way where we can be confident before the throne of grace. All the self-help guys, they can talk about process. They can talk about forgetting the past. They can talk about moving forward. And they never can talk about it in the realm of righteousness. You can have all the growth mindset you want in your sports, in your business, and they can't touch it in the realm of the spiritual because their conscience is defiled and they're separated from God and there is a barrier that lies over their heart. And so they can grow in areas of their life and the inner man is still decaying. They have no life in themselves. The false churches, they can read the Bible. They can talk about the Bible. They can change certain things in their life. But they are powerless to be righteous, to want the same things God wants. Because the circumcision of the heart never happened. That veil still lies over their heart. And they are stuck in Romans chapter 7. Do you understand, brethren, what God has done? Sometimes to win, you got to fight through Romans 7. But Romans 7 is not the sanctified struggle that you're going to be in as a Christian. It's the death of the law. What God has given to us is a new heart. This law is written on our minds and our hearts. The veil has been removed so that God can change us from within. He changes our desires, our wants, our will. It is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, or where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Freedom. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Any of you guys out here have any good business ideas? Anybody? Wow. We're not thinking about that this weekend. What if I had this crazy killer business idea? And it's a simple thing. I just have this app for it. What if, there's a problem though. I get this app out and there might be people better on that side of it than me. They copycat. They have more backing, money behind, and their app is the one that goes and mine goes nowhere, right? But I just want you to think about it for a second. In all honesty, even here, us as spiritual men, if you had an opportunity to get in on this, there is an app that is, there's no available competition for it. Nobody else has access to put it forth. Nobody else, it has an unlimited patent. Nobody can copycat it. And it is worth millions of dollars a year if you are the one in charge of this app. Would you guys find a way to do that? I mean, just be, if in all seriousness, somebody gave you this opportunity, would you do it? Who wouldn't? I mean, I'm in, of course. I mean, I can tell you all the ways I'd spend it for the kingdom, right?
iPhone only, though.
iPhone only. Okay. And I'm going to actually use that. Okay. Some of you guys that aren't iPhone advocates, would you get an iPhone? Okay. I would. If this was a true opportunity, and I'm guaranteed, like I got millions of dollars coming in a year. It's unlimited patent. Nobody else can do it. Okay, guys, we understand this pales. So it's not even a fair comparison. The opportunity, the portal open to us to see God as He is. To know Him, to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind. Who has the opportunity for that? Only true Christians where God has circumcised their heart. Now, if I was on that business thing, I would find a way. If I got to buy an iPhone, I'd buy an iPhone. If I got to figure out how to get the app on the App Store, I'd get the app on the... Whatever it took, I would figure out how to do it. Now, here's a question. We have this opportunity to think the way God thinks, to want the things God wants, to speak the words of God, to live as God lives. There's a responsibility for us. We might put it another way, renew the mind. Here it's, behold, is in a mirror the glory of the Lord. If, I just want to step back and value what the Lord has made available to us. Why would I not be in here seeing the glory of the Lord? Why would I not be memorizing scripture to see God as He is? Why would I not spend time in meditative prayer from His Word, in the information that God has given us of Jesus seated on the throne, the blessed and only sovereign, the Savior, the High Priest, the Prince? We go through the list of who Jesus is. We have the opportunity to see Him as He is. The veil has been removed. I just want to encourage you guys. Why? The opportunity that God has given us. If not, why not? I'll say it this way. If you're started on this, let's take the next step. And if you're doing this, brother, you know. You live. It's the abundant life in Christ Jesus. You are being transformed. The heart being changed. What you want, to want the same things God wants. What better? That's life. To be able to carry it out in your performance. That's life. God has given this to us. I want to go back to my starting spot, Deuteronomy chapter 30. God wants us to enjoy life, and enjoying life is not pursuing whatever the next fun thing is in this life. Anybody that knows me knows I like to have fun. But the greatest joy there is living in fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, my Lord, and being alive, loving Him with all of my heart, mind, soul. That's where all of the joy flows from. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. Isn't that encouraging? When you get to go Bible study with somebody, it doesn't matter where they start from. You aren't worried about it, because you know the work that God will do. In your heart and the heart of your descendants, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. Brother, I want to encourage us today, all of us, to value what we have been given. What God has done, He's ripped that flesh, that barrier between us and God, and now we can love Him the way that He wants to be loved and the way we want to. I want to encourage us. Live the abundant life. You may live. This is an Old Testament verse that absolutely pointed to the old, to what's available under the new covenant. We have been given this. Let's live.